Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is a duplicate tape of Jenny L. Wong from an original 90 minutes to 60 minute tape.
I was born in Xiaqi, Zhongshan, Canton, China.
When was that?
That was sometime in November of 1924.
Uh-huh. And when did you come to the States?
I came to the States at the age of three.
Age of three. Mm-hmm. So how old were your parents when they came to you?
My parents was here before that. Most of my brothers and sisters were born here in Los Angeles. And when my mother was pregnant, she took the whole family back to Canton, Xiaqi.
Mm-hmm.
There I was born in the year of 1924.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently, at the age of three, they immigrated back into the United States, bringing the whole family with him, with an exception of an older sister who was left behind.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents born in China or born
yes,
here?
Yes, they were born in China.
Uh-huh. And did they marry in China and then
they
come to
They were married
the
in China. And how they got here, I really don't know, except that my grandfather was here. He immigrated to the United States either doing the railroad or something to that effect, how he got over here, or he might have been born in Honolulu. I really very vague about that, and I really don't really know too much of the history of the grandfather's side.
Hmm.
Because you see, my grandfather, somewhere along the line, became a citizen and brought my father over, who was subsequently was a citizen. And my citizenship was derivative from my father. So that made me a citizen when I was born. That's how I came back.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, in the old days, you can't bring the wife over unless you are a businessman. I really not quite understand the background or how they immigrated into the United States.
Do you remember roughly when they came?
Well, they came back, they came here, must have been early, because, let's see, must have been somewhere in 1916, because my sister, who was the oldest, was born here, is now 63 or 4, so you count from then on.
Mm-hmm. What did you? Where did your parents settle when they first came?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Have they always remained in Los Angeles?
Always.
Uh-huh.
And my grandfather started the restaurant, and they've been identified with the restaurant business since then.
Your grandfather started,
yeah,
General Lee's,
mm-hmm,
restaurant?
It was not called General Lee's in those days. It was called Man Zhen Lao.
Uh-huh.
And the name wasn't changed until we moved up here to Chinatown back in 1950, 1953. And the name was changed by Paul Coates, the columnist of the LA Times.
How did that come about, that he changed the name?
Well, I think I prefer to leave that for a later time, uh-huh. because mm-hmm. it ties within with the later history of this family.
Okay. So where was Man Zhen Lao first located?
It was located on Marchesault, 309 and one half Marchesault. I remember the address. It was border on Alameda Street, which is now the Union Station. And where the tower is now, and you enter into Union Station, that was about the location of our restaurant right there.
Mm-hmm. How big of a restaurant was it?
It was a three-story restaurant, but you know, you had to go to the second, you have to climb a stairwell to get to the second floor and then the stair up to the third floor. The bottom floor was not a ground floor restaurant.
How many people could the restaurant accommodate?
Oh, I imagine it could accommodate 100. I imagine 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Consider fair size, you know, in those days.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if your grandfather went into this business with other partners or?
No, he was the sole owner.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Hmm. And so it was Man Zhen Lao up until
1953.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your father took it over from
yes,
your grandfather?
Yes, when my grandfather went back to China back in he must have went back in 1929, something like that, I imagine. I don't remember ever seeing him while I was here, so he must have went back then, because my father brought the family back in 1928. So he had the restaurant at that time. So my father had the restaurant since 1928, solely his,
mm-hmm.
that my grandfather left to him.
Mm-hmm. Why did your grandfather go back to China?
Well, his grandmother's still back there. He went back to retire.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you think he probably came over to the States to work and earn money and then,
probably,
and then
I'm
wanted
sure.
to retire?
I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So your father took it over in 28 and then it's been passed on.
Mm.
Your brothers are now in
yeah.
charge? Or,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your brothers Walter and
Walter,
David?
David and the pair twin, Merton and Norman.
Uh-huh. Is that the family?
Yes.
Your father?
That's the
Is that the whole family?
That's the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did your mother help your father with the...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
When my father went back to China in 1933, my mother took over the business. And when my father went back in 1933, he took with him my oldest sister, which is Rose. Her last name is Sung now. And my, the youngest of the boys was David, back to school.
Mm-hmm. Was that why he went back to China, so David could go to school there?
Yes, part of the reason why he went back was to take the children back to school.
Mm-hmm.
To learn about their own roots, I imagine, and have a Chinese education.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't really get a proper one over here.
Mm-hmm. So David was the only one that...
Of the boys that went back.
Of the boys
uh-huh.
that went back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many years did he stay in China, your father?
I think
David
stayed 6 to 7 years. Rose stayed 6 year probably. My father came back 19 probably 35. He didn't stay any longer than a year or two at the most.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Did you go to Chinese school here?
Yes.
In LA?
I went to Chinese school here. I went to Mei Yi Mei Christian School, Chinese school after our American school.
How many years did you go to Chinese school?
Oh, let's see. I started at the age of 6 and probably ended in 9, I probably went about 6 years by the age of 12 when Chinatown was torn down for the Union Depot.
Did you enjoy going, or were you forced to go?
I was forced to go.
Uh-huh.
I hated it, like most of the kids of those days. And consequently, because of the fact that I was forced to go to Chinese school and hating it, I swore at that time if I ever had any children, I wouldn't make them go to Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm sorry about that now.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a nice thing for them if they had learned how to speak Chinese, which came in handy. But one at that time, you know, when you were a child,
what was so terrible,
you know,
it was about
forced. Well, when you're forced to go to school after a full day spending at a elementary school and then another 3 hours, that's too much for a child that young age, you know, 6, 7. And besides the language school we went to, the Chinese school we went to, we didn't have recesses. You're not allowed. We didn't have recess, period.
3 hours straight.
Yeah, and that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up learning to hate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that I looked forward to.
Did you go on Saturdays too? Or just on...
No, Saturday I think... there was Saturday school, half day. Or whatever half day is. Nevertheless, I went. Because I remember taking piano lesson on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was just for an elective. I don't remember now. It's been such, you know, so long ago. But although I enjoy going to church on Sundays, you get to sing, you know. But church itself in those days wasn't that great either.
Which church
did
you
long,
go to?
It was long. Methodist church.
Uh-huh.
It was long. It was another 3 hours. You know, we kids in those days, in a sense, we were fortunate too, because where we lived in Chinatown, the city had a playground for us set up for the Chinese children.
Mm-hmm.
And it just right across the street from where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Although we never made, well, I can't say that we didn't make use of it. I guess we did, for the amount of time that we had that's available to us. We figured that from Monday to Friday, we're going to school from 9 until 6 in the evening, which is all day school.
Mm-hmm.
And that playground didn't come into being handy until the summer months, when the day is longer and then you get to play. And then of course maybe weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend you've got church. So whatever spare time we have, it was spent at the playground.
Mm.
It was a great source of, what would you call, entertainment, as far as we were when we were children.
Where was this playground?
It's in Chinatown. It was back where the Union Depot is now, where the railroad is running through.
Uh-huh.
The kids learned how to play baseball. We had we played hide and seek, kick the can, all those things, you know.
Yeah.
But that was the only recreation we had, and we're fortunate to have that.
Mm.
I'm sure a lot of kids down in probably in a central area, they didn't have any such thing as that.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to movies? a lot?
No, not a lot. Once a week.
Once a week?
Once a week.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. I don't go to movies. My brothers do. I was a girl and I wasn't allowed to go.
Why?
My brothers wouldn't have me. They wouldn't take me.
You were too young. You were too young to be allowed to go alone, and your brothers wouldn't take you. So,
so I never get to go to see a movie unless my uncle takes me. Unless my parents wouldn't take me. So I got shut out.
How old were you?
Six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12. To that age, I couldn't go with them. They wouldn't let me accompany them. My parents wouldn't let me go with them. Now, me and my parents don't go to movie, period.
Mm-hmm.
So who's there to take me? Your brothers don't take you. There's no one would take you. So once in a great while, as a treat, my uncle would take me.
Uh-huh.
And that's very few and far between movies.
Mm-hmm. Were you the youngest in
the
family?
Yes, I was the baby of the family.
Uh-huh. What's the lineup there?
My sister, I have an older sister who was living in China. She's the oldest.
She's still living in China?
No, she's here now.
Oh. Uh-huh.
She's the oldest, but she didn't come here to the States until about 20 years ago.
What's her name?
Her name is Kao.
Yokao. Yokao.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And my second sister was Rose, who's now Rose Sung.
Mm-hmm.
Pecking order would be Walter, the oldest son, and the pair of twins, which is Norman and Merton.
Mm-hmm.
And then David is number six.
Right.
And then I'm number eight. Number seven is deceased.
Mm-hmm. Number seven died at a very early age? Or?
Yeah, very early age. He died of smallpox.
Oh, uh-huh.
In China. He was born here, too.
Mm-hmm. So you were the only one in your family born in...
No, I think the oldest and the youngest. The head and the tail was the one who was born in China. And anything in between was born here.
Uh-huh. Did everybody in your family go to Chinese school?
Yes. Those who was living here, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Everybody went.
And how did you get out of it after age 12?
Well, when Chinatown was forced to move, then the church was... torn down also, the language school. That's where the language school was located. It was in the church,
mm-hmm.
the Methodist Church, May You May.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was the happiest day of my life.
You couldn't have been transferred or?
No. By that time, my mother probably gave up, you know, at that age. I wasn't about to go. I was going to junior high school by that time. And finally, there wasn't any more Chinese school anyway, I think, by that time, because they tore down the church, which the language school was located, and they had to relocate, and by that time, most of the Chinese became separated, and there were, spill all over, and it was hard to get them back, and transportation was by streetcar, and it was hard.
Mm.
And I think most of the parents by that time just gave up.
Mm.
And I never went back after that.
What do you think you gained in your 6 years of Chinese school?
I must say I gained something. I learned how to 找个字, you know. Maybe I retained 10 letter character, one would say. And my Chinese, because of my language school, it's a little more fluent than perhaps people who was living down in South Central, you know, Adams and down in that area. And that's how I picked up my Samyup. Otherwise, I don't think I would be able to speak it.
Mm. What languages were used at home?
Hongsan, Seiyup, Samyup. So I speak three dialects.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't, if you're considering, you know, here in the States, not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, most people just speak two, even at two the most. So if I pick up Mandarin, I can speak four dialects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing is that that would be the hardest thing for me to do is pick up a fourth dialect. I would like to learn.
So you did speak Chinese at home with your parents, mm-hmm. and they spoke... Did you speak Chinese with your brothers and sisters, too?
No, I think we spoke English to each other. But, you know, parents and teacher, Chinese teacher, you have to speak Chinese. So it's usually Chinese.
Did they have to force you in any way or scold you?
No, it came automatic. You know, you assume that because the parents speak Chinese and that's the only language they understand, so you don't speak English to them. Although my mother took private lessons when she came over as a young wife. My father was brought in a tutor and taught her at home. So consequently, she was one of the rare Chinese women of her generation to learn to speak English and to have private tutor.
For English?
For English.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So consequently, it came in handy because when my father went back to China, she was left with the business. And we did at that time, did some Caucasian business, mm-hmm. plus our own Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, our restaurant is really noted more for association with Caucasian people than it is with the Chinese people as far as dining is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Is there any particular reasons for that?
I guess it's because the fact that in those old days, there's more Caucasian than there are Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And you normally would probably extend your business toward the population rather than to a small majority. I mean, you know, more minority within the community itself. And besides, people were very poor.
I was just going to say, do you think maybe that the Chinese didn't go out to eat as often?
Sure, they don't. You know, in those days, everybody was very poor. They can't afford to go out and eat. And if they did go out to eat, they'd probably end up in Sam Yun or Se Yun, where they have roast pork and roast beef and, you know, that kind of thing. And then for 30 cents, you get all that. And I remember years ago when my father came back from China, he would order a roast beef, prime rib today, and you get a slice of roast beef and a potato, and you get pie, apple pie, and a dinner roll, which is absolutely delicious. And to this day, it's too bad we're never able to find out the recipe because all that bread was out of this world. I don't know, that's one thing about Chinese which is not good, is that they don't bother to leave something behind for someone else to carry on. It's lost, you know.
Well, your family has, as far as the restaurant goes.
Yeah, but this restaurant, which is called Sam Yun Se Yun, they make the most fantastic bread, a combination of a sourdough that you can't, I can't describe. I don't know where to find it today. The guy, when he died, he took it with him. But you know, for 35 cents, they deliver that basket of lunch with a pot of coffee to your house. And why, you know, there's so many of us in those days, you know, mm-hmm. when father called for one lunch or dinner, well, of course, maybe he might share with mother.
Mm-hmm.
But we kids just look from the doorway and watch him eat while our mouth was drooling, you know. But you can't afford to buy that many, you know, lunch for all the kids because there were so many of us. And in those days, money was hard. Even 35 cents was a lot of money in those days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me just get your, what was your grandfather's name?
Wu Hoi.
Wu Hoi.
Uh-huh.
And your father's name?
Wu Fun.
Wu Fun.
Uh-huh.
And your mother's?
Bak Fun. I only know him as that. Bak Fun.
Bak Fun.
My mother?
Uh-huh. And your mother?
My mother is um chok siêu, lầm chok siêu. She was sing lầm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when your father took over the restaurant in 28, was that when he took it over, did you say?
Yeah, I came here, when I was 3, so it must be something about 28.
Yeah. Was it still at the same location?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's always been
at the same location.
Same location. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Has it expanded at all since, as far as number of floors or accommodations or
menus? Oh, no. When you were saying about same location, no, it's not the same location as it is now. Remember, when my grandfather had the restaurant, it was down where the Union Depot is then.
Right.
Then we have to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
And the building was torn down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in 1934-35, there was rumors at that time that Chinatown has to relocate because the Union Depot is going to be built there in Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
where the Chinese section is.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day on, they were looking for some area to relocate Chinatown and the Chinese community. And by 1936, they tore down the place where we lived, this big apartment, and they tore down all the building up to the point where our restaurant was located, and they have to prop it up with 4 or 5 of these long beams to keep it from toppling over, because it's a brick building. And thanks heaven there wasn't any earthquakes. And at that time, they wanted my father to move. And my father said, well, I can't move until we find a place to relocate. And they wanted my father to move to San Pedro Street, where the produce market was. And my father told them, I would not move my family down to the produce place because I don't want to raise my children there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to raise my children in an area where I can walk at home at night, and my children has good school that they can walk to, and it has to be a big street where my restaurant to be located. Yeah. Because Chinese people, on a whole, a big street means a popular place,
mm-hmm.
populous, like Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You go to Broadway in any city in the state, in the whole United States, it's a big street. And he wasn't satisfied to move down to San Pedro anywhere. And besides, he felt that neighborhood wasn't a right place to bring up children. So he refused to move. Now, since
mm-hmm.
he refused to move, they couldn't bodily toss him out, even at that time. But the Santa Fe Railroad Company, who assigned a man named Herbert Lapcom
mm-hmm.
to negotiate with the Chinese community
mm-hmm.
to find a place to relocate the whole Chinatown. And between Herb Lapcom, Peter Suhu, my father, who was an unofficial mayor at that time because he's the only one that spoke, that was old enough that spoke Chinese and a little English, and because Peter Suhu at that time was very young. And they all looked to my father, wherever my father was going to move to, because his restaurant was the most well-known. And it was the first restaurant in Chinatown, too, in the city of Los Angeles. So they all looked to him for leadership. And when they came down to Chinatown to talk to my father told them outright that he will not move until they find him a place where he can raise his children and have his restaurant someplace where it's safe for Caucasian to come down to eat. So between these people plus an attorney called Robert Craig. So there was principally Herbert Lapcombe, my father, Lee Fahn, the attorney, Robert Craig, and the interpreter, which is Peter Suhu Sr. These four principal, or the principal that made all, most of the decision where we were going to move to.
Mm-hmm.
And we were holding up the progress of building that station because